We begin the current daf Masechtas Brachos daf Yud Ches. We begin on the bottom of daf Yud Zayin mit Beis on the bottom, four lines from the bottom. The Gemara discusses in detail the halacha of the Mishnah that began the third parak of Masechtas Brachos regarding certain people, individuals that are exempt from the chiyuv of Krishma. Specifically, was Misha Meisei Muta Lefonim, that the Mishnah had said, someone that his dead relative is lying in front of him, he's parted from Krishma. So the Gemara begins an analysis of the Mishnah. Muta Lefonim in, that someone that his dead relative is placed, is lying in front of him, he's part of him Krishma, but it would be mashma. Then the diuk is that someone that his dead relative is not in front of him, that he's not part of him Krishma. For example, if let's say he's in one house, and that the mace is in another house, then he would be chayiv in Krishma. Reminu, but there seems to be a contradiction. We learned, misha mace and muta lefonim, someone has his dead relative in front of him, oichel b'bayis acher, he eats in another house, because if not, it would seem like loig l'rosh, as if he's, so to speak, being very insensitive to the dead person, that he's there lying and he can't do any physical activities, and here he is, he's eating, so he should eat in another house. Ve'imin l'bayis acher, but if he doesn't have another house, oichel b'beis chaver, he eats in his friend's house. Don't eat in the house where your dead relative is laying. Ve'imin l'bayis chaver, if he doesn't have a friend's house to eat at, oisa mechitz of oichel, he puts up a partition, and then he eats. If he doesn't have anything to make a partition out of, then he turns around his face and then he eats. But he shouldn't be eating, sitting directly looking at the nifter. However, the ein meis of oichel doesn't recline and eat, the way that the derech of mesubim is that they do it with a chashivas, with respect, and they lay on their left side on the bed. That you shouldn't do. The ein oichel baser, you don't eat meat. Ve'ein shoyse yayin, you shouldn't drink wine. Ve'ein mevarech, and he doesn't have to make a birchas hamitzi before he eats. And Tosfos says that he's not allowed to. Ve'ein mezamen, and he doesn't make birchas hamazon after he eats. And now we continue on to the beginning of daf Yud Ches. Ve'ein mevarchen lav, and he doesn't need someone else to make the bracha for him, because although he's pater, you would think maybe someone else would. The chiddush is that even other people don't have to make the bracha for him. Ve'ein mezamen lav, and people cannot include him in their chiv of zimun. He's not mitzdar for three people to make a mezumen when they're making birchas hamazon. Upatim ekriyishma u'minat filo u'minat fil n'mekol mitzamus b'tara. And this individual, he's exempt from kriyishma, from davening, and from tefillin, and from all the mitzvah written in the Torah. However, u'bishabbos meisiv oichel basar, on Shabbos he does recline, he eats meat. V'sheisa yain u'mevarach, he drinks wine and he makes the brachas. U'mezamin u'mevarach n'olav u'mezamin olav, he benches and he has other people make brachas for him and they include him in the zimun. V'chayv b'chol mitzvah mus b'Torah, and he's chayv in all the mitzvah written in the Torah. Shabbos is different. There we don't make a display of avelis. That once he's obligated in these mitzvahs that we mentioned, he's obligated in all the mitzvahs that are written. And Rabbi Yechon said, what was the difference between these two opinions? They both seem to say that he's obligated in all the mitzvahs on Shabbos. So he answers that tashmish hamita ikabin ayir, marital relations is the difference. That Rabbi Shimon says that an oval, a mourner, is even chayv in oyna in Shabbos, and his obligation is towards his wife in marital relations. Even that, which is betzina, even that on Shabbos he's chayv to do. Whereas the Tanna Kamma held that no, that would be excluded, that he wouldn't have to do on Shabbos. However, the Gemara asks as follows: Ketani mihas. But what we did see from this was that pata mikriyishma minat filo minat filn umchal mitzvah mus b'tara. It said that an individual, even if he's eating bebeis chavayir, even if he's eating not in front of the mess, it said a general statement. If someone has a dead relative, then he's pata from all the mitzvah mus b'tara, even kriyishma. And our Mishnah seems to be saying only if it's meisei muta lefonav, only if it's laying in front of him. So that's a contradiction. Rabbi Papa says you should interpret this halacha that we just quoted, that we said that your pater is only going at someone that doesn't have another house, and that's like we said that your machzer panav oichel, that you turn your face and eat. In that case, your pater from Krishma, because then the mesli is muta lefonav. But correct, everyone would agree that if you're in another house, then you would be chayv in Krishma. And this halacha that we just quoted as a contradiction was going in the case that you're in the same house and you turn your face and eat, and then everyone agrees your pater from Krishma. Second test the Gemara gives is Rav Ashi Amar, Kivin Shemuta Lelov Lekoivrei Kemuta Lefanavdom. He qualifies the whole statement. He says that when there's an obligation on someone to bury a relative, it's as if that mess is laying in front of him. And therefore, everyone's going in everything. And even our Mishnah, even when someone is in a different house than the mess, he's still part of him Kriya Shema, because as long as there's an obligation on him to bury that person, it's included in the phraseology of our Mishnah of Mesa Mutal Lefanam. It doesn't mean literally in front of him. It means to say, as long as you're still obligated and involved in burying, it's as if they're in front of you. As the Gemara brings proof from the Pasuk, Shenema says, but Yochem Avram Me'alpanei Mesa, that Avram arose from the presence of his mess, which is a reference to his wife Sarah. The Nemran, it says later on, the Ekbura Mesim Ofanya, that I may bury my dead from in front of myself. And that is, we see that although at that moment she was not in front of him, because he had already gotten up from among her presence, and now he was talking to the Bnei Chais, still it was called Milfanai, that we see that calls Manshim Mutalav Lekavri Kamutalafan Abdami. As long as there was an obligation on him to bury her, it's as if she was in front of him, and therefore everyone agrees that it's considered Mesim Mutalafanav even when you're in another house, and you would still be Pater from Kriyishma. So that was one element we discussed. Now the Gemara continues the analysis, is that mesoy in av mishamer loy. So it would seem that only if someone has mesoy mutalafon of his dead, in other words, that his relative that he has an obligation for, but if it's someone that's just guarding the corpse, guarding the mess that passed away, someone else that's not a relative, he's just watching, guarding it, then he would not be part of him Krishma, and he would be obligated. It's only the relative that when it's mesoy. But Tanya, but we learned in the Braisa, Hamishamer Esames, someone that guards the dead, Ava Bisha'ena Mesa, even if it's not his dead relative, Potter, Mekrishma, Menatfil, Menatfil, Omakamat Samus Bater, we see specifically that it is even when you're just guarding it and it's not your relative. So the Gemara answers, it's either or. Mishamroy Ava Bisha'ena Mesa, if you're guarding it, even if it's not your dead relative, and Mesa, Ava Bisha'ena Mishamer, and if it's your dead relative, even if you're not the one guarding it. So therefore, it's either or, and that's why it's not a contradiction. Our Mishnah said one halacha, and the Braisa says another halacha. However, the Gemara continues this inquiry. Mesoy mishamri in av mahalach b'beisik faras lay would sound like, so okay, either if it's your dead relative, or it's a dead person that you're guarding, so then you would be pater. But if you're just walking through the cemetery, then you wouldn't be pater, and you'd be obligated. V'tanya, but we learned in the Braisa, lo yahalach odam b'beisik faras, the person should not go in the cemetery, utfilin b'raisha, and have his tefillin on his head, v'sefer Torah b'zroya v'kari, and to have a sefer Torah in his arms, and to have a reading from it, which Tosfos says it would mean even if you're reading it bal peh, orally, not from the sefer, but it's just a term that they're using. You shouldn't be saying words of Torah in the cemetery. Vim oisikain, and if you do that, you have the tefillin on your head and you say the words of Torah, you're transgressing the pasuk that says he's mocking the pauper, he blasphemes his maker. In other words, it's so to speak taunting Hashem by disturbing this mess that he can't do the mitzvahs, and you're showing you could do the mitzvahs. So that's, so to speak, something that's embarrassing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and embarrassing to the mess that passed away. So what we see from this braisa is that not only if you have a dead relative that you're busy with, and if you're watching a dead mess, you're watching a mess that you're part of, but even if you're just walking in the basic forest, and from our mission is mashma and the braisa that it's not. So the Gemara answers that correct. There is a p'tur from Kriyishma when you're walking in the cemetery, but it's not on the same grade as our Mishnah and the Brice regarding someone that has a mace and that's Mishamri. And that is Hassam over there when you're walking in the cemetery. It's only when you're within four Amis, which is approximately 8 feet of the cemetery, then you're forbidden to say Kriyishma. But out of four Amis, then you're Chayiv. Damamar, as the Master said, Mes Toifis Dalad Amis the Kriyishma. The mace seizes a four Amis regarding Kriyishma, that's considered like Larash, that you wouldn't be able to say Kriyishma if you're within the Dalet Amis. Hacha, however, here regarding when you have your mess, or when you're watching a mess, Chutzal Dalet Amis, Nami Pat, even if you're out of four Amis, if let's say you're in the room watching the mess and you're 16 Amis away, you're still going to be Pata from Kriyishma because you're Isaac in the mitzvah of having the mess or of being Mesham in the mess. Versus over here, when you're walking in the cemetery, it's just the Issa of Leg Larash, and not of, there's no, you're not being involved, you're not Isaac in any mitzvah at all. So now the Gemara goes back to explain what we just learned. Gufa. We said, Hameshamer Esames, someone that's watching the dead, Ava Bisha'ena Mes, even if it's not his dead, Pater Mekriyishma, Umenatfilo, Umenatfilin, Umekom Mitzvah, Mois Bater, he's Pater from all these different mitzvahs, again, as we said, because he's Isaac ben Mitzvah. Hayushnaim, if there were two individuals that were watching, so Zem Mesham Bezekar, so this one will watch while this one's reciting Kriyishma. Zem Mesham Bezekar, and then this one watches and the other one recites Kriyishma, because you don't have the Ptur of Isaac B'mitzvah, because you don't need two people to watch. You could have one person watch and the other one say Kriyishma in the meantime. Benazi says, Hoyiboyim b'sfin, if they were coming on a ship, so then manicha b'zavizu, u'mespal n'shneim b'zavizachers. You don't have to take turns. Rather, if you're on a ship, you could leave them in this corner, and both of them could go to the other corner to go ahead and daven. So Gemara asks, my benai, what's the difference between them? It would seem to be that they both agree on that oiske b'mitzvah is only with one person, and what's the difference on a ship? So Ravina chishon l'achbarim ike benayu. That the difference between them is if they're concerned for mice. And that is, marsa v'chashinon, Tanakama is concerned for mice, and that is even on a ship. Umasa v'lechashin benazai is not concerned for mice on a ship, and therefore he allows both of them to leave the mess in one corner and both of them go to the other corner, although they have to be watching it, but on a ship there's nothing really to be concerned about. The Gemara continues on this theme about the covered necessary for the bones, for the remains of a dead person. Tarabun. Hamoylech atzam lois mimakam lamakam. Someone is transporting bones from one place to another. Harizu lo yitnim bidisakya v'yitnim agabichamar. He should not put them in a sack and put them on a donkey. V'yirkav alem and ride on them. Because you're treating the bones disrespectfully, you're going to be riding on it. It's disrespectful. They list him mutter, but if he's afraid of the Gentiles and because of the bandits, that is, he has to quickly get on the horse and to gallop at a quick speed and to get away, then it's permitted, and that is because he's not doing it because he's degrading it, he's doing it because of necessity. And it says that just like we said regarding bones, so too we said regarding the Sefer Torah. So the Gemara asks, ahai. Which one is it going back? We said two statements. One of the Isser because there's a minig bazillion, and the Heter when you're afraid of the bandits and they're from the Gentiles. So what are we comparing the Sefer Torah to? Ilei Ma'areisha, if you're saying that there's an Isser just like to ride on top of the bone, so there's an Isser to ride on top of the Sefer Torah. Pshita, Migar, a Sefer Torah Matzamis, is a Sefer Torah the honor necessary for it any less than the bones, the remains of a person? So the Gemara says, Ela Sefer, rather it's going on the Sefer, that if you're afraid, and you have to get away quickly from the bandits and the Gentiles, you're allowed to put the Sefer Torah on and ride on top of it. So now Gemara continues again on the same theme. Amar Rechav, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Kalaroya Hames, Ve'inim Alavehu, whoever sees a dead person, the coffin, and he doesn't escort it to its burial place, Oiv Mishim Loig L'Rosh Cheref Eseyu. He's over on this pasuk that someone that's degrading the pauper and it's blasphemes to the one that made him. So in other words, it's an affront to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he made the person. And we know that many Talmid Chacham, Tzadikim, they say that they were Yaakov Kamenetsky, that he was going in the street and they saw and was taking they had a funeral procession. He went and he walked Dalai Lama to be Mekayim this halacha because it's a Tzel Malikim, it's someone that's in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and there's an Isra of Leig L'Rosh. And then he says, V'im Halveyu Maschar, right? And if he does escort the mess, what is his reward? Amar Rav Asi, Lava Kasav Aimer, regarding such a person, it says, Malva Hashem. He lends Hashem, who's the one that lends to Hashem? Choyn and Dal, who's gracious to the poor. Umachabdoi, and he who honors him, who honors Hashem? Choyn and Evyon, that he's gracious to the destitute. And that is, he's considered someone that lending to Hashem if he has Rachmanis on the poor. And there's no one poorer than the dead person. And whoever is Malvahim, whoever escorts him, which is the same Lashon as lending, it's as if he was Malvah Samakam, as if, so to speak, he escorted, as he's lending to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's because the person is the representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara continues with this theme of Loig L'Rosh, about something that's mocking the pauper. Reb Chiyav, Reb Yonason have a shakli va'az le'beis ha'kfaras. These two Talmid Chacham are walking in a cemetery, have a kashadya tcheltad Reb Yonason. So the tzitzis of Reb Yonason, which is the reference of tcheles, was dragging on the floor. So Amar Le Reb Chiyav, Dalya, Reb Chiyav told him, lift it up, don't let your tzitzis drag down the floor. That the dead should not say that tomorrow they're going to come to us. In other words, they're going to join our ranks of the dead. And now they're mocking us. In other words, they're like, you could do the mitzvahs and we can't. Don't mock us. Just very shortly you'll be in our ranks also. So he said to him, do they really know that much? They're dead. They don't know what's happening. But it says in the Pasuk Kehelis, the dead know nothing. So they're done. They're not in this world. They don't know what's going on. So why are you concerned for me to have my tzitzis dragging on the floor? So Amalei, he told him, Im Karisa Lo Shanisa. If you read the pasuk, you didn't review it. Im Shanisa Lo Shalashta. If you reviewed it, you didn't review it another time, a third time. Im Shalashta, if you read it three times, Lo Pirshalach, it was never explained to you. And that is as follows. The beginning of that pasuk says, Ki Achayim Yoidim Sheyimusu. That the ones who are alive know that they're going to die. What is that reference to it. Of course, the live know they're going to die. So the drush is as follows. Eilu tzadikim. This is a reference to the righteous. Should be misasin nikro chayim. That even when they're dead, they're called alive. And that is, what does it mean, yoidim sheimus, they know that they're going to die? In other words, they always contemplate. They put on their heart the day of death. And therefore, they remove themselves from doing an avera. And the next part, urshom in yoidim u'uma, what does it mean, the evil, they don't know anything? That they make themselves like they don't know anything. And therefore they sin, although they know good and well that there's a din v'cheshvan and you know that there's a God, but they make believe that they don't. So that's the reference of the pasuk. It doesn't mean the dead don't know anything. It means the reference to tzaddikim and rishon. And as the pasuk brings, that how do we know that a tzaddik, even when he's dead, is called alive? Shneim it says in the following pasuk. Uvneyo ben Yahyada, ben Ishcha, he was the son of a living man. Rav Pa'olam Mikav Tzeel, he was the man of many achievements who came from Kav Tzeel. Huhike Ashne Ariel Moyev, he's the one that killed the two commanders of Moyev. Vuhyard Vihike Esari Betecha Bor B'Yamashelik, and he went down and he hit the lion in the pit on the day of the snow. Now we continue on to Amud Beis. So the Gemara asks now, so what does it mean, Ben Ishchai, the son of the living man? Atu kule amu b'nei meisin inu? So what, the rest of the world is the children of dead people? Rather, this is to tell us, Ela Ben Ishchai, he was the son of the living man, Shafilu b'misasik harachai, that even when he was dead, he already passed away, he's still called alive. And that's because the same element that, since he was a tzaddik, even when he passed away, he was considered alive. Now the Gemara continues explaining that pasuk that we just brought down. Rav Pa'ol Mikav Tzeel, what does it mean that he was a man of many achievements from Kav Tzeel? Shariba v'kibitz poyalim l'toyra, that he increased and he garnered achievements for Torah. And then they continue, v'hihika eshnei ariel moyev, it says that he hit and he destroyed the two commanders of moyev. What does that mean? It means he didn't leave anyone of his stature, not in the first Beis HaMikdash, not in the second Beis HaMikdash. That's Shnei Ariel, reference to the Beis HaMikdash. Not, he didn't leave either one. In other words, he was greater than anyone in the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash. Then the final part of that pasuk was that he went down and he smote the lion in the pit on the day of the snow. So there's two interpretations. Ikka de Amri de Tover Gezizi de Barda, that it would break the pieces of ice. V'nachas of Tovah, and they went down to go ahead and Tovel in the mikvah, in the river, for his Thomas Carey to go ahead and to be Isaac and Tyra. And Ikka de Amri, those that say the Tonus Sifrit de Beirav, that he learned Sifrit de Beirav, which is a reference to Teres Kainim, but Yoimit de Sisva on the winter days. So either way, the interpretation of this pasuk is not literal, it's more of a representation of his Tzidkis, of his great achievements in Torah and Yerushalayim. However, but what the main idea we see from that pasuk of Ben Ishchai is that the tzaddik is called alive even when he passed away. And now we go to the second part of the pasuk, which was the main idea of v'hameisim ein yoid me'uma, and the dead don't know anything. So he says it doesn't mean, you never understood the pasuk, it doesn't mean the dead don't know. Of course they know. And that's why you shouldn't be dragging your tzitzis. Rather, Eli Rishom, it's a reference to the evil people. Shebechayein kru meisim, even when they're alive, they're called dead. Shneim, as it says in the pasuk, Va'ata, and you, Chol Rasha, a corpse of wickedness, Nesi Yisrael, the prince of Klal Yisrael. And that is that this is a reference to Tzidkiyahu. And during the days of Yechezkel, he was still alive, and still he's calling him a Chol, he's calling him a corpse. Now we see that although he's alive, he's really in essence dead. Because for all practical purposes, he's not living in the sense of a true life. V'ibay Seima Mahachi, and or else you can give another pshat where we see that a person is considered dead since he's a Rasha, even if he's not dead yet. It says in the pasuk regarding Eidah, saying testimony about someone to have him killed with corporal punishment, apishnayim Eidim o yishloisha Eidim yumas hameis. Says that through two witnesses or through three witnesses, the dead will die. So the Gemara asks, Chayhu, he's alive. What do you mean the dead will die? Meaning the living will die. And that's it, they're prosecuting him. Ella hameis mikar, it means that he was dead from the outset, that since he was a Rasha, he did something evil, we call him Messer, and he's already dead for all practical purposes. And so to speak, the execution is just, so to speak, a manifestation of his being dead already. Now the Gemara continues on this theme that was brought up in the previous Gemara, this machlokes, do the dead know or not? Once they passed away, do they know what's going on in this world? This is the discussion in the following Gemara. B'nei Reb Chiya nafik l'kiryasa, the sons of Reb Chiya, they went out into the villages, and they went to do their work they had in the countryside. Ayakulu Tamidayu, so they were there for a while, and they forgot their Torah learning. have a kamitzari lad kuri, and they were trying in every which way to recall their learning. They were being mitzari themselves. They were in pain to recall their learning. So amalichad lechavre yoda oven b'hai tzara. So one told his friend, said, "Does our father know our pain? Does he realize that we're going through this trial that we're suffering, that we can't remember our learning?" So amalichidach mano yoda. So the other one said, "From where should he know?" But it says in the pasuk, in Eiv, yichabdu vanav, that although his sons will attain honor, then he won't know. In other words, once he's dead, he's already got bygones, and therefore he doesn't know anything about what we're going through right now. So the other one said, and he doesn't know? But we have a pasuk that says, ach besorei olov yichav, but his flesh that on him will be pain, v'navshei olov tevel, and his spirit on him will be mourning. And that is that the person that passed away, he feels the different situations that his flesh and his soul go through after he passed away. And V'amr B'Yitzchak, and B'Yitzchak explains this to say that kasharim lames, that the worm is as harsh to the dead person that eats away at the flesh, kemachet b'basar achai, like a needle in the living flesh. And that is, we see that he feels it. He's still, so to speak, cognizant of what's happening to him, although he passed away. So you see that he is still part of our world. So Amri b'tzara did hu yadi, so they told him that his pain, their pain, they do know. B'tzara d'achrina lo yadi, but the pain of others, in other words, regarding us, that they don't know. So they feel the worm that's eating through their flesh, but everything else, they don't realize. But then he retorted, v'loy, and it's not the case. But Tanya, but we learned in the Brice of the following story. And from this story, we'll seem to say that the dead people do know what's going on in this world. As it says, Maisa b'chaser echad, there was a story with a pious individual. Shenasin dinner la'ani be'erev Rosh Hashanah b'shnei b'tzoyis. He gave a dinner, he gave some tzedakah to a poor person on erev Rosh Hashanah in a hunger year, which there was no money to go around. V'knatisa yishtay, and his wife provoked him, says, "What are you doing? We have no money. How are you giving away money? I know you're a chassid, but there's no limit to what you can do." So he, so to speak, had to get out of the house. It wasn't in good condition. He went to rest in the Beis HaKfaras in the cemetery. He heard two spirits talking one to the other. These were two little girls that passed away recently that he heard them talking. So one told her friend, says, "My friend, come, let us roam the world. Let us hear from behind the curtain what type of misfortune is coming to the world." Because since it was Rosh Hashanah, we said that this story happened every Rosh Hashanah. He went to lay down, since Rosh Hashanah. They said, "Let us hear what the judgments are being passed on Rosh Hashanah. We'll hear from behind the curtain which separates between the Makom of the Shechina and between the rest of the world. And let's hear what's really going to happen." So she told her friend, "I can't. I was buried with the matting of reeds. And so to speak, I'm stuck. I can't get out. You go. I'm really, what you hear, you come back and tell me." So she went and she was roaming. And she came and told her friend, "What did you hear from behind the curtain?" I heard that whoever plants by the first rain, and that is, there's three different rain periods that come down. There's the first one, the second, and the third. First one is on the 17th of Marcheshvan, the second one is the 23rd of Marcheshvan, and the third one is in Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So it's three different rain periods. That whoever plants the first rain, borid malko esay, the hail will destroy it. And that is, the hail will come down very close to the first rain period, and whatever was planted already will already be hard, and the bar of the hail is going to break it, and whoever plants in the second one will still be soft, and that's not going to break because of the hail. So therefore, halachu b'zar b'vishni, he went and he planted by the second rain period. So the Gemara says, so everyone from the whole world, they all planted right away at the first opportunity, theirs was destroyed, but his wasn't. L'shana acheres, the following year, he went again to sleep in the basic forest Rosh Hashanah by night. Again, he heard these two spirits talking one to the other. And one told a friend, says, "Let's go and roam the world and hear what type of punishment is coming to the world." So she told the chaverti, "My friend, didn't I tell you already? I can't. Come, I'm buried in a matting of reeds. You go and you roam and you tell me whatever you're going to hear." So she went, she roamed, she came. And she told her friend, "Chaverti, so she asked her, the one that was buried under the reed, said, "So what did you hear from behind the curtain?" Shidofin Malkois. I heard whoever plants the second rain period, dry wind will blast it and destroy it. And that is, it's something that's like it's a weaker type of an element. And it doesn't destroy something that's hard, only destroys something that's going to be weak. So therefore, Halach Vizar Berishain, he went and he planted at the first rain period. The whole world, they were afraid of what happened last year. They planted by the second time. So therefore, since theirs was still weak, theirs was destroyed from the dry wind. And his wasn't, because his already was hard, because he planted by the first rain period. So his wife told him, why is it that last year, everyone from the whole world, the hail destroyed their crop, and yours wasn't destroyed. And now the whole world's theirs is blasted because it was soft, and yours wasn't. What's going on over here? How are you suddenly getting all the secrets here? So Sachla called Varmalo, he told her all the things that happened. And that is, he told her about how he found out his secrets from the two spirits. Amruth, so they said, they said that it wasn't a long time before there was already a fight between the wife of this pious man and the mother of that child who was buried under the matted reeds. Amrullah, so she told her, she was like, so to speak, stalking her. She said, says, come and I'll show you, you think you're better than me? I'll show you that you buried your daughter in the matting of reeds. And you like, so to speak, you trapped her. Like, what are you talking about? So she was using it as a way of winning in that fight. Lashana Cheres, so the following year, Halach Balon the Besek Fras, he went again, figured he's going to try his luck again, and he went to sleep in the cemetery. Vashama Isan Rucha Isha Mesapazum, so again they heard the two spirits speaking. Amr Lachaverti, Boivanoshad Ba'ilam, Benishma Machara Pargid, Maparanis Ba'ilam. Again, the friend told her, let's go around the world, let's see what type of punishment is going to come. Amr Lah, so she told the Chaverti and Chini, my friend, leave me alone. Dvarm She Beini Lebein Cha, the words that were spoken between me and you are already being heard amongst the living. And that is because it got back through her mother of the story that somehow what they're being spoken is being heard. And therefore she said, let's stop communicating because it's already being heard. So therefore what we see from this story was what one of the sons of Reb Chiya was telling his brother was Amayadi. So we see that they do know. They know the things that are being spoken amongst the living. So how can you say that the dead do not know? So the Gemara answers, that's not a proof. Maybe someone had since passed away, and he now is in this new club, in the club of the dead, and he told them what happened, but not that they really know what's going on in this world, they're in the parallel universe, so to speak, but once he passed over, he told them that this person has been hearing the spirits, and therefore that's how they knew, but they don't really know what's happening in this world. So again, the Gemara has yet to resolve if the mess knows what happens with the living or not. Toshima, Gemara will bring another raya. The Ziri have a mafkid zuzi gabe ushpech zikte. The Ziri had entrusted money with his landlady. So ad the asiva also lebe rav shchiva, that once while he was away at yeshiva, she had already passed away. So he didn't know where his money was. Azul basra lechotza mavas. He went after her to the courtyard of death, which means to the basic verse of the cemetery. Amr la zuzi heche, he told her, where is my money? Amr le zil shaklinu mitute bitzinoira. So she told him, take the money from under the pivot of the door in such and such a place. And also tell my mother, that she should send me my comb and my tube of paint. And that is, so to speak, was an expression because she had passed away young. She was saying this like an agmas nefesh of, so to speak, like, you know, I miss my comb and my tube of paint. And the Bali Musa say that from here we see that a person doesn't change when he gets to the world to come. His same desires and the same taivis are still there, and a comb which has no place in Olam Haba will still be there, and therefore that's kina taivit or covered to metzinas oilam oilam. It actually escorts a person to the next world, and that's why the person is exactly how he is here. He has to work in himself to be how he's going to be in the world to come. So either way, this is what she requested from this from Ziri to ask her mother to send. And who should she send it with? You know, how is she getting this to her? Bahadi planisa de asila macher, with that girl that's coming tomorrow. And that is because she's going to be buried. So the Gemara says, Amayada. We see that they do know what's happening in this world, that she knows that this girl is so to speak, on death's door, and she's about to die. So how does she know that? So the Gemara says, no, it's not a proof. Because Dilma Duma kodim emarchas, maybe Duma, who's the malach that's appointed on the dead, maybe he went beforehand and he announced that now such and such a person is coming into this new club, so to speak. But other things that go on in this world, they do not know. Maybe here it's different because he announced that this person is about to come. So again, the Gemara attempts to bring a right. Toshma Davud Shmuel have a komafkili gabe zuzdiasmi. The father of Shmuel had a lot of money entrusted to him from the money of orphans. Kinach nafshe lehava Shmuel gabe. When he passed away, Shmuel wasn't next to him. Have a kokari le bar ochel zuzdiasmi. They called Shmuel the son of the man that consumes the money of orphans. In other words, that like you have all this money from the orphans and you're not giving it back. He went to search after his father in the cemetery. Amaluhu beina abasi told those that were assembled that it's almost, so to speak, seemed to him that the mason were revealed to him that they were sitting outside of their kever and they were sitting in a circle. So he said to them, "I need Abu," and that he was saying that was his father's name, wasn't that Abba, like means father. His father's name was Abba. So he said, "I need Abu." Amrulei Abba tuvekahacha. They said, "There's a lot of Abbas here." Amrulahu bina Abba bar Abba. I need Abba, the son of Abba. Amrulei, so they told him, Abba bar Abba nami tuvekach. There's a lot of Abba bar Abbas here. Amrulahu bina Abba bar Abba avudishmu. I need Abba, the son of Abba, who's the father of Shmuel. Heicha, where is he? Amrulei, they said to him, Salik lemesifta dereki. He already ascended to the heavenly academy. He ran up to the Beis Din Shalmala. Adhochi chazi lelevi the Yosef Avaray. In the meantime, when he was waiting, he saw that Levi, who is a big time achachem, someone that he knew, that he was sitting outside this circle. Again, that it seemed to him that there was a circle. He was sitting outside, and that they didn't let him sit inside this yeshiva. So Amar Lei, Amar Yasvet Avroi, he says, why are you sitting outside? My time is selected. Why don't you send to the yeshiva Shalmala, like my father did? Amar Lei, Damri Li, because they told me the following thing. Kol ki hanach shani, doloi selikdis, lemesifte, the Reb Ephes, all those years that you didn't go to the yeshiva of Reb Ephes, v'achlisht l'daita, and you distressed him by not joining his yeshiva, l'maylin alach l'masif d'rikia, we're not going to let you up to the masif d'rikia, to the heavenly academy. It's, so to speak, mida k'neged mida. Adahachi v'achi asavu, in the meantime, his father had already come, he heard his son was looking for him. Chazi davaka bachi v'achach, he saw that his father was crying and laughing. So amalei, my time at kabachis, so he first asked him, why are you crying? Give me the bad news first. Amalei de la agal ka'asas, because very soon you're coming. My time achichas, why are you laughing? So this is the chashivas b'hayamatuva, because you're highly regarded in the Olam Haba, up there in Shemayim. Amalei ichashivna na'alula Levi. He says, if I'm highly regarded, let them take Levi up into the yeshiva Shamala. Ba'ilula Levi, and they took him up. Amalei zuzidi yasmi heiches. So he asked his father, he finally had his father's attention. He says, where is this money of the orphans? You know, they're calling me all these names. Amalei zilsha klinu ba'amsa derechai. He says, go take it from the bedstone of the mill. And he said, he explained to him, Eloi vitatoi didan. The upper money and the lower money are our money. Umitzidi yasmi. The middle monies, it probably was in a special bag, is the orphans' money. Amalei, my time avad hoch, why do you do such an interesting thing that the top and the bottom are ours in the middle are the orphans? Amalei said, because igenuvi ganvi miganvi mididan. If the money should be stolen, let our money be stolen, which was on the top. Iachla aro ochla mididan. If the earth will ravage it because of the different elements in the soil, it should eat up ours. And therefore he wanted to protect more the orphans' money than his own money. However, Almadiyadi, so we see that the dead do know, and that is he knew that his son is going to be coming very soon up to Shemayim. And Taisus says that you can't say, like we said before, that maybe Duma had already announced and said that maybe he's coming soon. That's because there it was immediate, the person's about to die. But here he was saying that it's going to be at a later point in time, that much before Duma doesn't announce. Rashi says that the reason why the Gemara is saying that we know that those who are passed away know what's going on in this world, because he knew who's considered chashiv between the living. They said that you're considered chashiv. That's why it's a reference that you know. But either way, either pshat, we see that his father that already passed away knew about Shmuel, about what's going on in this world. The Gemara answers, Dilma Shani Shmuel, kivin chashiv. Maybe Shmuel is different, that since he's highly regarded, kadmi amachrazi panu makim. Maybe that they went and they prefaced and they announced, make place, that Shmuel is coming and he's looking for his father, and therefore it's not a raya that his father knew what's going on. Rather, he realized that they said, make room, that obviously he's highly regarded, but not that he knew what's going on. And the Gemara even says, "V'afer b'yainasin hadabe," even Rabbi Yainasin reverted his position, and that he ultimately ended up agreeing that the Mesim do know that although he had in the story on Omer Av that the tzitzis were dragging, he agreed that the Mesim do know what's going on. The Amar b'shmo ba'nachmeinu Amar b'yainasin, that this halacha is from Rabbi Yainasin, minayin l'meisim shemesat mezeh mezeh. How do we know that the dead communicate one with the other, that they know what's going on? Shenem, as it says in the pasuk, v'yom Hashem elav, Hashem said to him, to Moshe, zayis ha'aretz asher nishbati l'Avram l'Yitzchok l'Yaakov lemer. This is the land, this is at the time when Moshe was passing away, that they were about to go into Eretz Yisrael. This is the land that I promised, that I swore to Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, saying. So the Gemara asks, my lemer saying what? Who is he saying this to? So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, Kadosh Baruch Hu told to Moshe the following, Leich emer lehem, l'Avram l'Yitzchok l'Yaakov, go tell Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, Shvuah shenishbati lechem, kvar kemti levneichem. The oath that I took and that I swore to you, I already were mekayim it, I already fulfilled it for your children, and that's what he wanted. Moshe was the transition of going to Eretz Yisrael. Go ahead now and tell Avraham Yitzchok Yaakov that I'm fulfilling my promise. I'm going to continue to the top of your testament, Aleph, and the Gemara proves as follows: and if you would think that they don't know what's going on in this world, in other words, they don't understand, and the only thing they do is they feel the worm eating their flesh, but everything beyond that, they don't understand. Even if he tells them what's going to happen, they don't know. They're not cognizant of the awareness of people, of their banim, their descendants. So obviously they know what's going on, and they're aware if Moshe Rabbeinu is going to tell them, and it'll affect them. So therefore the Gemara asks, Elamai diyadi, so what are you going to say? That they do know what's going on. So why does Moshe have to tell them? They realize, they see everything what's going on, the neshamas are here, they see what's happening, they see Klai are going to Eretz Yisrael, so why does Moshe have to go ahead and tell them? That's for different reasons. Lachzuke leitivus l'Moshe, that's just that they should show appreciation to Moshe Rabbeinu, because Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving him that opportunity to tell them that they should say thank you for fulfilling this part of our of Hashem's obligation to us, that you being the shliach, and that's why. So therefore, the Gemara seems to conclude that the Mesim, those who passed away, do know what's happening on this world, as many say, by chasnas, different times, that the Mesim are present and they are aware and fully cognizant of what's happening on this world.